Well, I guess that lots of us know the English comedian Bill Bailey from his appearances on the popular TV panel show QI, or Would I Lie to You, or the popular sitcom Black Books. He's also a hugely popular stand-up comedian, and he's touring the country with his new show. It's called The Earl of Whimsy. Bill, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So we discover in your live shows that you're an amazing keyboard player. When did that start?
Well, I started playing the piano when I was just a kid, really. I was 4 or 5 years old. And we had a piano in our lounge room in the house.
The way you do.
As you do. And upright in the corner was a kind of a feature of a lot of households then. Not so much these days, I don't think. And I just tinkered around on this piano. My mother was, she loved to sing. She loved to sing along to the songs on the radio. She encouraged me to play. And I very quickly realized I had a facility to pick out tunes on the radio and play them on the piano. So I had a sort of a way of absorbing music and tunes and remembering them and able to sort of play them.
And were you a kid who played at school? Did you entertain other kids when you were playing?
I certainly. I mean, when I learned the piano, I started to have lessons, more formal lessons, classical music. And then I would take part in concerts, school concerts. I taught myself a guitar and other instruments. And so it sort of started with that, really.
So you went from school onto the London College of Music. Did you intend to be a classical musician? Was that...
That was on the cards at one stage, yes. I actually thought that might be where I ended up, as a pianist or a piano teacher, or I'd be part of an ensemble. And I did it, I pursued it to quite a high level. I went to the sort of diploma level, and sort of where you have letters. So it's all quite...
Yeah. Oh, you've got letters?
Serious. Oh, yeah.
And you're a man with letters.
I'm a man with letters.
Marvellous. I mean, we do know that you're a fantastic keyboard player. We see that in your shows, because you suddenly will launch into a bit of classical this or a bit of Bach. Anyone who watches you knows that you're good at it. Is there a moment when you discovered not only that you were good at playing the piano, but that you could amuse people when you were playing the piano?
Yes. I mean, I think that, I was lucky when I was a kid on the TV in the UK. There was quite a lot of musical comedy was around at that time. There was a fellow called Les Dawson, who was an accomplished pianist, as well as being an old-fashioned sort of northern club comic.
And he never smiled. He always had a scowl on his face.
Scowl, blimey, you know. And he had this very sort of lugubrious demeanor.
Lots of jokes about the wife.
Yes, that's right. The mother. Oh, you know, when the mother-in-law's coming around, the mice throw themselves on the traps, you know. And he would had this great shtick, and he would play the piano, but he would play it deliberately badly, which has got a skill to that. And so, and then there was the two Ronnies. They always have a big musical sketch in their show. Morecambe and Wise, a very famous double act. There was always a big song and dance number. So music was always part of comedy on TV. And it's what I grew up with. And there was a very famous, Victor Borger, who was one of my dad's favourites.
So he's a Danish-American pianist,
Danish-American classical pianist.
Who just amused people by slamming the lid on his fingers.
Yeah. And that's right.
He would start playing Tchaikovsky and turn it into, some ditty from the Top of the Pops.
And he turned that, he sort of, he had like a safety belt on his piano stool and all sorts of, and it was, for me as a kid, it was just wonderful to see that. And it left a real deep impression on me.
Mm. I remember a Victor Borger joke about Bach. He'd say, "We're going to play Johann Sebastian Bach. He had no arms, no legs. He was just a bust." And if you've ever grown up in a house in which there was a little bust of Beethoven or Bach on the piano, you got the joke.
Yes.
I suppose a lot of other people are thinking, what the hell's he talking about? Chico Marx was another one too.
You know,
that trick playing that he used to do.
Yeah.
From the TV show Would I Lie to You, we learned that you've got a little bit of Australia at home. You've got a cockatoo called Jacob.
Jacob, that's right. Yes, she's a rescue case. And actually, she came originally from PNG. She's a sulphur crested, but she's got the blue eye. So we wondered whether that was an Australian cockatoo. And in fact, it turns out she was actually she's a cockatoo called a Triton. And they differ from the Australian ones because the Australian sulphur crested have just got white around the eye. But she's got this beautiful powder blue, So it turns out she's a subspecies of the Australian one. It's called a triton and found in Papua New Guinea and West Papua. She'd been a pet, and then the owners, for whatever reason, couldn't look after her, so we took her on as part of our menagerie. So she's now part of our gang.
So you have a vast menagerie.
Well, we've got quite a few animals, yeah. I mean, it started out as a sort of, you know, looking after the odd rescue dog and the odd waifs and stray, and it sort of built up from there. So we now have quite a lot of animals, a lot of enclosures, a lot of space we've given over for looking after animals in strife.
And I gather that you nearly came to grief rescuing a goose.
Yeah, well, that's right. This happened on Valentine's night of all nights, when my wife and I had been out for dinner and we were driving back through London, and we sometimes, just for, you know, because we liked the road, we used to drive down the Mall in front of Buckingham Palace, and you could drive around it and that would take us to West London. Anyway, we noticed something in the road. It was a large bird, which turns out to be a goose, that had been hit by a car and was injured, and but it was still alive and the wing was flapping. And so we stopped. And anyway, if this had been anywhere else, we'd have just stopped. And what we did was we had a blanket in the back of the car. We got the goose in the blanket, put it in the back of the car, and we were going to take it to an animal hospital nearby. But of course, it's outside Buckingham Palace. This place is, as we then found out, obviously absolutely crawling with special branch, you know, plainclothes, royal protection squad, armed officers who are there primed, ready to respond to anything suspicious within minutes. And so what seemed like within seconds, as we got the goose from the road and were wrestling this thing in, and I mean, it looked dodgy, I have to say. It was dark. It looked like we were kidnapping something and put it in the back of the car. These guys just came out of nowhere. And they had pistols, handguns, holding, and then they held the gun at me and said, "What are you doing?" And it was a bit intimidating, I have to say, because, you know, I wasn't expecting it. And obviously I was a little bit tongue-tied, so I just kept saying, a goose.
And, a likely story.
Yeah, and he went, "Yeah, right." And I said, "It's a goose. We've got a goose." And so the goose was under the blanket. And so I said, "No, there's a goose in the car." And so we pulled the blanket back, and the goose's head reared up, looked at the guy with his partner, who then, which I thought was a little bit, it was hilarious. He pointed the gun at the goose. I thought, well, he's going to take it out. Like, this is a sort of, you know, an agent of a foreign power. And then he did that thing with the radio, you know, you know, stand down. He actually said, "Stand down, it's a goose." And I don't know what would have happened if we'd not told him it was a goose. Yeah. I had this terrible, I mean, for a long time, I thought, you know, perhaps we could have come to grief.
So you're in Australia with a show called The Earl of Whimsy.
Yes.
Which is a lovely word, whimsy.
Whimsy, yeah.
What does whimsy
I know. I've always loved it. It's kind of, you know, light-hearted entertainment, it can be all sorts of things. It's a tangential idea. It can be a fanciful notion. It can be, it encompasses a lot of the things which are actually in the show. And it seemed like an appropriate name. I get called lots of different sorts of names and people, you know, papers, journalists, I get all kinds of, you know, usually connected to Middle Earth or some sort of, you know, Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, elf, orc, whatever. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to actually preempt what I get called and think up my own name for myself. And this is partly because this show is very much a bit, it just follows a lot of the trains of thought that I have, which often go off in lots of different directions. I think, you know, there's music in there, there's the history of jokes and comedy, there's a bit of politics, there's a bit of poetry, my own travel stories, where comedy's taken me over the years. So it's really everything is, you know, all the things that interest me.
And Shakespeare makes an appearance, Shakespeare's contribution to comedy?
Yes, indeed. Just the language, the way that the words have filtered into modern life, you know, tradition, certain joke formats, like the knock-knock joke, has its roots in that era. You know,
Hamlet starts with the words, "Who's there?" Yeah. Those are the first two words. In fact,
yeah.
when I go to Hamlet, I have a little temptation to watch the guard who's terrified on the battlements of Elsinore with his sword out yeah. because they've seen a ghost on a previous night, and also they're being invaded by a foreign power. And the moment he takes that breath to say, "Who's there?" I want to shout from the audience, "Knock, knock!"
No, yeah.
So he just go, "Who's there?"
Yeah, that's right. You start with a gag. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
how, apart from that little dimension of yeah. Hamlet, how is Shakespeare linked to the knock, knock joke?
Well, one of the first appearances of the whole format, the kind of the call and response thing, which you know, is the sort of essence of what it is, it happens in Macbeth. And it happens in the porter scene, when he's sort of, you know, he says, "Oh, knock, knock, who's there in the name of Beelzebub?" And so he sort of acts out this little scene where he pretends to be not only the person behind the door, but the person who's knocking on the door. You read it, you think, this is the earliest kind of form. This is almost like the birth of the knock, knock joke, of how he pretends to be both the person, knock, knock, who's there, and he answers himself. It fascinates me because I think this is something we take for granted. It's become part of our culture. Christmas, it's a tradition. We pull crackers, and there's a hat in there and a little gift, a trinket, and a knock-knock joke.
Yeah.
The whole call-and-response thing happened much later. The sort of the joke, the format that we know about it, where you say, so-and-so, so-and-so, who, and then there comes the punchline. It never used to be that. It never used to be like that. It was always just like, I don't know, just a little role-playing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, British theatre, popular theatre is full of call and response, isn't it? All that sort of look behind you and, oh, yes, yeah. it is. Oh, panto. No, it
yeah,
isn't. All absolutely. That panto stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basic.
Yeah.
Bill, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bill Bailey. His show is called The Earl of Whimsy. And look, he's playing everywhere. He opens in the 4th of October in Perth and then on to the Gold Coast. He's in Melbourne at Hamer Hall from the 2nd to the 5th of November. There's a gig in Canberra later on the month. He goes to Adelaide, Newcastle, and he's at the Sydney Opera House on the 19th of November. So lots of opportunities to catch Bill Bailey. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is The Hub on Stage.